Researchers in South Korea are reporting today that they have successfully created the world's first mature cloned human embryos. This advance paves the way for researchers to learn more about a whole range of disorders and offers the promise of one day being able to tailor-make new cells for patients suffering from diabetes, Parkinson's, and other diseases. It also brings the world a step closer to possibly being able to clone babies. With us here in Studio 3A is Kathy Hudson, the Director of the Genetics and Public Policy Center at Johns Hopkins University. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
What specifically did the scientists in South Korea do? Maybe you can explain it for us.
What they did was they collected eggs from a number of women, and they removed the genetic instructions from those eggs and replaced them with the genetic instructions from an adult body cell, placed those in the laboratory, and grew them through early embryonic stages to mature embryos, and took those embryos and harvested cells to create stem cell lines, which hopefully will be able to be used one day as therapeutics for a number of diseases.
So no contribution at all from the father?
A father. No father involved.
No father involved at all. Okay. And the purpose of this, the researchers are really pursuing medical treatments for diseases. That's the mission, not human cloning necessarily.
Well, we're cloning embryos here in both cases. And the question is, for research cloning to develop therapeutics, the embryos are destroyed in order to create stem cell lines. And in the case of reproductive cloning, the embryos are placed inside a woman's womb with the hope of developing a baby. Of course, that hasn't been demonstrated, nor is it likely that it's going to come about anytime soon, and many, of course, object to reproductive cloning.
We're talking about the cloning of human embryos, of course, a very complex medical and ethical issue. If you have any questions for our guests, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. These clones, like others, how far away does this put us from the possibility of cloning a human being?
That's, I think, a very good question. There have been a number of individuals who have stated their intention to clone a human being, and recently one has taken an earlier embryo and implanted it into a woman's uterus with the attempt of creating a cloned human being. So there are those out there who would like to pursue this line of work. In the United States, the vast majority of Americans are strongly opposed to cloning, and in fact, most lawmakers as well.
Let's talk about the two sides of the ethical issues involved here. And for those who believe that this is an ethically correct direction to go in, because of the potential for helping people who have terrible diseases, as we mentioned, diseases like Parkinson's. Let's talk about that argument first.
Well, those who advocate embryonic stem cell research in any form and cloned embryonic stem cell research are definitely optimistic about the possibility that these cells can be used to replace damaged or non-functional cells in the human body that contribute to disease. So that many believe that that's the only ethical decision, is to pursue this line of research. On the other side are those who believe that a human organism at any stage in its development, including at the embryonic stage, is deserving of respect. And so the creation and destruction of those embryos is killing a human life and is thus immoral.
And this technology could be used irresponsibly?
This technology, there's a number of ethical concerns about both research cloning and reproductive cloning. There's issues about who are we going to collect these eggs from? Is there a possibility that we'll be exploiting women here? There's concerns about the embryo itself, and there's concerns about the development of the therapeutics. And of course, if these were to be implanted into a woman's womb, there's enormous ethical concerns and safety concerns about the safety of the mother and the cloned fetus or child.
Kathy Hudson is the director of the Genetics and Public Policy Center at Johns Hopkins University, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to go to Jackie in Minneapolis now. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks. I have a comment as a 39-year-old Parkinson's patient. I've had, I was diagnosed 6 years ago, and in terms of egg donors, I have quite a few that I'm not using anymore that I would be happy to donate towards the therapeutic cloning. With no sperm involved, I don't believe that it's a baby, and I do believe that while the research needs to be regulated, I think there's tremendous promise for people like myself to benefit from the therapeutic cloning, not the reproductive cloning.
Mm-hmm. So you would not be in favor of using this technology for reproductive cloning?
No, I would not. But as I said, since there's no sperm involved with this technology, as far as I know, I don't consider it to be a baby. So I would gladly use my eggs if I could help myself or someone else to be benefited in terms of Parkinson's or any other disease that the therapeutic cloning is looking at right now.
In fact, this is a technology that people like yourself have been waiting for, I think.
Right.
Kathy Hudson?
Well, I think the optimism that these stem cell lines and this pursuit of this line of research will generate new interventions and therapeutics is obviously very high, particularly among the patient community. It is a long road, and the research is in its very early stages, and so it's important that people participate in that research to see it move forward, but also to keep in mind it's going to be many years down the road before this is used clinically.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Jackie.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Let's go now to Wesley, who is in Berrien Springs. Hi, Wesley.
Yes, hi. I had a question. My question is, first of all, I see the value in the stem cell research in treating, possibly therapeutic effects. But my question is, why is it necessary for us to go this route when there are alternatives, like, for example, getting stem cells from stillbirths and miscarriages, etc.? What is the distinction between the two, and why is one necessary above the other?
That's a great question. So there are, in fact, stem cell lines that already exist that were created from leftover embryos from in vitro fertilization clinics, and those are being studied currently. This administration supports federal government funding for research using those stem cell lines. There are people in the research community who are concerned that those are not adequate stem cell lines and that they wouldn't be effective to move into clinical trials involving human beings. The reason why people are interested in cloned stem cells is because there's this notion that if we could develop these therapeutics, that it would be, if you put in a cell that is not immunologically matched to the patient, that cell may be rejected. And so by having genetically matched cells, there may be a possibility of averting any kind of rejection and improving the efficacy of those therapeutics.
Thanks so much for your call, Wesley.
No, thank you.
Let's go now to Tony in Austin, Texas. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Y'all were using the term mature embryo, and I'm sure that would mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people who aren't in the medical field. And I was just curious if you could straighten out what the definition of that exactly is.
Sure. So,
but you were using the term that you're using a mature embryo, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what makes an embryo a mature embryo.
Right. The scientific and technical term is a blastocyst. So after an egg is fertilized or after an egg has had a new nucleus implanted in it, it goes through several cell divisions and then changes shapes and has a number of cells, a couple hundred cells. They're in a clump, and it is at that stage ordinarily that embryos would be transferred in vitro fertilization and undergo implantation. It's the stage at which there are cells that are capable of producing stem cells, and it's called a blastocyst.
Okay. I was asking that because I could see politically you could use that term, and to a layman, they would know nothing what it means, but it could mean a whole range of things to different people. When you say mature embryo, I mean, anybody could think a fetus or something like that, you know. So I just wanted to make sure or understand exactly, you know, what that meant. And so you're talking about something that's just a few cells. It's not even, I guess, to the layman, recognizable as a human.
That's right. And it there is a distinction between, and I think everyone shares this distinction, that embryos go through a transformation at a certain point where there are visible different types of cells present. And this is much earlier than that. It is a ball, a hollow ball of cells.
Thanks so much for your call, Tony. And I think his call goes directly to the fact that this is all very political, a political issue as well as a very ethical, an ethical question.
It is indeed. Currently, there is bills pending that would prohibit reproductive cloning, and there are also bills pending that would prohibit all forms of human cloning, including for stem cell research.
Okay, thanks so much for being with us today, Kathy. Kathy Hudson is the director of the Genetics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.